The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. I'm your host, Lou, and I'm joined tonight by my co-host, Eric. How are you?
I'm great!
Awesome. And Chris, how are you?
Okay.
We don't get that sad sound, so he must be doing pretty well.
I guess so.
Sadly, Chris couldn't be here with us tonight, so...
That's why he's doing so well.
Exactly. He's not listening to us drone on, so he is probably doing better.
Well, if you haven't been with the network for very long, let me just briefly recap the rules for you. This means that anything that happens tonight that goes wrong, whether it be a technical issue, me stuttering, Lou forgetting what he's talking about, whatever the issue is, it is automatically Chris's fault.
Exactly. And, you know, that goes for stuff in the world, too. If there's, you know,
well, that's true.
Any kind of thing going on in the news tonight, that's Chris's fault as well.
Do you hear all that nonsense with the Olympics? Like the Olympic swimmers having to swim in this river that is microbially the equivalent of raw sewage water.
What?
Yes.
I didn't hear that.
Yes. Like there's a whole article on it that breaks it down by like all of the stuff that's in there. And the fact that they will, it's not like, will they get infected? They're getting infected, period. The question is whether or not they'll develop symptoms.
And
we're talking everything from C. diff to, I won't get into the whole thing, but you know what? Chris's fault.
Yeah, Chris's fault. Chris's exactly. Fault.
Yep.
See, this is a good policy.
We
like
have
this.
A system.
That's why I try not to miss any episodes, because
exactly.
I don't need any more pressure.
Exactly. Yeah. It does make it a little rough.
It feels like we haven't done this show with all of us together in a while. You were off last week, I think, right?
Yeah.
And, it's summertime. We all have stuff going on. You were away. So, hey, you know.
That's okay. That's why we have three hosts. So
exactly.
As much as possible,
exactly.
We can keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, you know, and I felt like when we got down to record last week, I lost everything I wanted to talk about Comic-Con in my head. We're like, what happened to all the news? It was like, we're about a week late from Comic-Con, but it was a interesting episode. I mean, we've got the next big comic movie coming out this coming weekend, so that would be interesting. I am looking forward to seeing Suicide Squad. Are you going to try to make it out to the theaters this weekend to see that?
Of course. I have it in the movie draft, so I kind of have to.
You want to buy a ticket with you go or not?
Yeah.
You just want to get the revenue in there.
Exactly. I bought 5 tickets so that I can sit and then have 2 empty seats on either side of me.
Oh, but you don't need to do that really with the new movie theaters, with the bigger seats now.
That's true.
It's so comfortable.
Oh, shoot.
Theater.
I didn't even think about that. I should have pre-ordered tickets.
Yeah.
Because
that's the one drawback this new style theaters. If you want to go like, let's go to the movies tonight.
You can't.
You can't. Yeah, unless you want to sit like way down in front or way up on the side.
The one here in Waterford, which is happens to be the closest theater to me anyway, and it's a nice theater, but it's got the reclining chairs and the reserved seating. They don't have very many seats per theater, per screen. And like if you're opening weekend, forget it. If it's like the third week of release and it's a weekend, you can probably like just kind of mosey along. You get the tickets whenever, or if it's during the week, maybe. But opening weekend, if you haven't gotten the ticket, if it's a major release, I'm not even talking like Avengers. I'm just talking any like recognizable release. Just don't bother.
You know, I've had pretty good luck, even like a couple of days before even opening weekend. For some, like I would see Star Trek. Was it last weekend it came out or weekend before? Whatever came out, I bought tickets like a couple of days before, maybe 2 days before the day I wanted to go. It was a Sunday night, so it wasn't like it was a big movie theater night. But I was able to get seats where I wanted, you know, right in the middle, you know, up towards the back. So I was pretty happy. But you certainly can't go, you know, day of on a Saturday opening weekend and say, yeah, let's go see this in an hour.
Right.
it's just not going to work out for you.
No.
So
not at all.
It's changed the way I've got to do things. And now we had that. Well, I had my little rant a couple weeks ago, too, about buying tickets online on the Cinemark app.
Yeah.
I did misspoke a little bit there, too, because it wasn't 3 business days. It was 3 hours before the tickets, you know, money come available on your card.
Oh,
but okay. Still, three, you know, I'm ready to buy tickets. I'm like, 3 hours? What am I waiting? You know, it's like, ugh. So you do have to buy that purchase ahead of time.
But, I mean, 3 hours is, I mean, compared to 3 days.
Well, yeah, no, I did make a mistake there, and I want to own up to that. So that's Chris's fault.
It is.
Because he's not here.
This is how it works, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Well, we should probably get right into it here. Unless you got something else you want to talk about first. Do you have anything to add?
We could talk about the movie draft real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the chart lately.
Well, in that case, I updated it as of, I want to say maybe, so today is Thursday, August 4th that we're recording this, and I didn't update it yesterday. I think I updated it Tuesday.
Okay.
So this is recent, within the last day or two. So we are all the way through July, obviously. Results by team. Well, let's look at the movies themselves. Right now, the biggest box office draw of this season so far has been The Secret Life of Pets.
Okay.
With $296. Ghostbusters and Star Trek Beyond are both at $106, though Star Trek Beyond has only been out for 2 weeks. Legend of Tarzan is $121. It looks like Legend of Tarzan might end up beating Ghostbusters domestically.
Wow, that's interesting.
And the funny thing about it is that that means that Legend of Tarzan, as far as a per credit, in other words, the amount that was bid for it, in this case by Joel bid 15 credits. We each had 100 credits to bid with. And he had the winning bid for Tarzan at 15 credits. So if you take the overall box office, the domestic box office, divided by 15, he averaged out $8 million per credit that he spent to get that film. Ghostbusters, Mike got for 21. It's only brought in 5.
Right. You know, it's funny. A lot of these movies that were bid really large aren't doing all that well on a per credit basis.
No.
I mean, Star Trek Beyond, Joel, I think he overbid for it at 52.
Yeah.
But it's only making $2 million a credit.
Yeah.
Well, you know, whereas the winner right now per credit is Kyle with Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. He bid 4. And it's brought in $43 million. So he's at almost $11 million per credit.
That's impressive.
It's crazy.
So
actually, Kyle, right now, if you look at the results per team, and again, we're only a third of the way through the season. The results so far, Chris has $99 million. I have 0 because my films haven't come up yet. My first two will be this weekend with Suicide Squad. And just because nobody else was taking it, I got 9 lives. So Chris is at 99. Joel is at $228 million. Tim is at $23 million. Mike is at $106 million. Kyle is at $530 million.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. Now, I think he's about...
I think he's almost done, though, right?
Yeah, let me look through. He's got Mechanic Resurrection.
Okay.
And that's it. Yeah, so okay. He's basically
done. So he has
done.
One movie left, yeah.
Yeah, but if you look at last season, $500 million is not too shabby.
No. Yeah, who won last season?
I don't remember. I mean, it wasn't really a season. It was more like a beta.
Oh, come on. Okay, whatever. but yeah, it's interesting to see this season versus last season of all the, you know, we had some people go real big on some movies. I mean, you went big on Suicide Squad. Joel went big on Star Trek Beyond. And that was really for the real big, big ones. But looks like...
Well, that was it for the potentially overpriced ones.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm also thinking stuff like, you know, $20 and more is almost overpriced for some movies these days.
Well, the thing is, the ratings... from the critics on a lot of these big movies have been like they haven't performed like they were expecting them to. So The Secret Life of Pets obviously was successful.
Yeah.
But the BFG kind of tanked. It brought in $52 million. That's it. The Purge election year, I think, did okay at $78 million.
For a horror movie, I think that's really respectable. Yeah.
But Ghostbusters, 106, not what they were hoping for. Ice Age, Collision Course.
Yeah.
42.
That hurt.
42. Star Trek Beyond has brought in 106 in 2 weeks, which not quite what they were hoping for. Jason Bourne opened with about 60. Suicide Squad, we're about to talk about that in a little bit here, but the critics have been not too favorable of it.
Right.
Pete's Dragon, they're not, I don't think they're advertising it enough for it to really take off. And looking at the rest of the list here, I think we've hit all of the big tent poles.
I think so. I mean, looking through here, what else is going to be possibly? I mean, I think Kubo and Two Strings might do well.
I mean, it looks good, but
I think Sausage Party is going to be a big hit.
I don't know.
I think that's going to do much better than everybody thinks it is.
I don't know. I mean, I think it looks interesting, but The Magnificent Seven is another that might do well, maybe.
Yeah, saw a trailer for that in the theater. It didn't look too bad on the big screen.
Yeah, but
what's the one about the kid who's born on Mars?
The space between us. Yeah.
Okay, that looked okay on the trailer. I didn't know much about that. I was okay. It might be good, but
well,
I don't think it'll bring in huge dollars. No.
One of the things we did this time around was we invited the audience to participate. So there's kind of two games going on here. One is the episode of Random Chatter in which we all auctioned off the films. And then we posted the results online and what the winning bids were. And then we invited the audience to participate. So what happened is the audience members each got 100 credits that they could spend to not to bid on, but to purchase the different films at the already bid purchase price. So in other words, if you wanted Suicide Squad on your list, you had to pay 50 because that was the winning bid. Star Trek Beyond was 52. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates was 4. So that was basically, you know, you submitted a list of your picks up to 100 credits. And the results were kind of interesting. Looking at the sheet here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We have 13 submissions. Not quite as many as I'd hoped, but, you know, it's our first time doing this. So, and of those 13, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them did not pick Suicide Squad. 9 out of the 13 picked Suicide Squad. A little surprising. It makes me feel a little bit better about my bid. But yeah, people are convinced that this is going to be the big winner. Regardless of what the critics say, the domestic box office take, that was the big one. Secret Life of Pets was another big one. That brought in, let's see, 4. That brought in 7 bids out of 13.
And truth be told, we let bids come in after like the first 2 weeks of movies have been out. So
right.
People kind of knew what Secret Life of Pets is doing dollar wise. And I think it's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. Well, and the other one, about half of the people got Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates because for 4 credits.
Yeah. I think they all should have taken that one.
Yeah. let's see. What else kind of surprised me? Ben-Hur. A lot of people, I'd say about half the people picked Ben-Hur.
Really?
Maybe not quite half.
Huh.
And
I don't see Ben-Hur doing well. I see Magnificent Seven doing better than Ben-Hur.
Let me see. Magnificent Seven, 1 person picked it.
Really? Wow.
Yep. Bridget Jones' Baby, and again, this might be because of the bid-to-dollar ratio, 6 out of the 13 picked it. So about half.
Okay.
Picked that as well. So yeah, it's 3 people picked Sausage Party. And I think that's it. Everything else had maybe 2 people tops that picked it. Purge had 3, looks like. Yeah, so it was, and Jason Bourne had three. It was kind of interesting. Suicide Squad, a little surprising based on how expensive it was. But I would not have thought that Ben-Hur and Bridget Jones' Baby would be the other two big ones.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben-Hur, I mean, you know, got to figure, though, with, you know, $5 for Ben-Hur and what was Bridget at three for Bridget Jones' Baby, those will fit into your chart nicely to top out to $100. And for $3, I mean, you can't really go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking at this stuff here, I'm going to say, like, if I had to do this, I probably would have picked Secret Life of Pets, Suicide Squad, Mike and Dave. I'm looking over the list here to see who I think. I mean, Christian, I think, has got a pretty good lineup. Mm-hmm. Secret Life of Pets, Mike and Dave, Nine Lives, Suicide Squad, The Wildlife, which I think is going to do pretty well, and Bridget Jones' Baby. So I think it's a pretty solid selection there. Mm-hmm. Chad has Legend of Tarzan, again, a good one. Mike and Dave, Bad Moms, which didn't do all that great, Nine Lives, Suicide Squad, Spectral, Bridget Jones' Baby, and The Edge of 17, which actually could do well. So going a little bit more for quantity, but still getting the big picks in there, too. It's going to be pretty interesting. I'd have to say that the audience participation one is surprisingly competitive.
Mm-hmm. I'll be looking forward to seeing how both the staff one here and the audience participation one pans out.
Yeah.
It will be fun.
It's kind of fun, yeah. Even already.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Well, speaking of movies and Suicide Squad in particular, they are the top story in our news tonight.
Yeah.
Because it's coming out, tonight, I guess, actually, is the opening night, Thursday night. Let's see. Despite early February reviews, the current press reviews have been mostly negative. I've kind of seen this out there. No one's really glowing about this thing.
Yeah.
And that kind of worries me because it looks different enough that I think it's going to be fun.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the early screenings, people loved it.
Okay.
People absolutely loved it. You know, the ones from months ago.
Right. Before they made some changes.
Right. And that's apparently what's going on here. There have been several reports leaked in the last day or two. The Hollywood Reporter's got a really good article about it, talking about the fact that Warner Brothers got a little bit panicked over what happened with Batman versus Superman. And so they went into the editing room and the director had a cut. And then they went in and did a cut. And then they screened both of the cuts, compared the notes. Then they came up with an additional cut based on the feedback from the first set of screenings, made a third cut, compared that to the original director's cut, and decided that that's the one they were going to go with. There are a couple of stories out there saying that there were even more versions out there and that these are just the three that were screened.
Huh.
But
I really hope we get some of these versions on the disc when it comes out.
That would be nice.
I mean, I'd love to see, or at least different endings or different takes or wherever they change, I'd love to see some of the changes. And that'll give us some discussion points down the road. You know, what do fans think? You know?
Right.
This is what we ended up with for the theatrical release, but this is what they had in the can but didn't show. So do we like that better or not? It'd be interesting to hear what the fans say if they get a chance to see these things and then have studios go, oh, you know, we should have really done that differently, shouldn't we? You know, so.
Right.
Be great to get that feedback to the studios.
Well, apparently the reshoots were also a result of some of this panic as a result of Batman versus Superman. They decided to go a little bit more lighthearted with some of the early character interactions to kind of establish the characters. And I guess, you know, a lot of the response from the critics are that the beginning of the film is pretty good. And the end of the film, it's like a completely different film. And it's just kind of disjointed and confused. And when you look at this stuff that allegedly happened behind the scenes, that would make perfect sense.
Yeah.
And
that does not bode well. I mean, I'm going to go see it no matter what this weekend, but I just hate it when, I mean, I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes. It's got 27%.
Oh.
Is it really that bad?
I think it went down. Is that?
Did it?
Let me see here. Yeah, it was at 29% this morning. Let me update the show notes here. 27%. Okay.
Oh, wow. I mean, it can't be that bad. I mean, 27% is a pretty dismal score.
Well, we'll get to the Rotten Tomatoes thing
okay,
here in a moment. Because there's a whole nother story there. It's just, it's ironic to me that they had, you know, it was apparently a pretty good movie. And then because Batman versus Superman did so badly, the irony that then they went in and tried to make this movie better and instead ended up making it worse. Like, we don't know for certain, but.
Right. We don't.
Based on what we're being told. That, and yet it doesn't surprise me either. It is completely, it's stereotypical of a studio's involvement in a film, taking away some of what makes the film interesting and turning it into a generic pile of schlock.
Right. I mean, trying to go in and make this more lighthearted, that sounds like a really bad idea to me. I mean, Suicide Squad, it's about villains. It's not supposed to be lighthearted. I mean,
right. Make the Superman movie more lighthearted. Make this not lighthearted.
Right. I mean, if the character can pull off something of a comedic role in character, sure.
Right.
But don't make it lighthearted just to lighten the mood of the movie. I mean, these are really bad guys supposedly doing bad things to help save the world, right? I mean.
Right. I mean, these are killers. These are murderers. You know, felons, mm-hmm. serial killers, etc. These are the bad of the bad. Speaking of which, Joker apparently was going to be in more of the film too, and there were a lot of scenes with Joker that got cut.
Okay. You know, there was another story out earlier today, and I think we have a link to that in our Slack channel. Where is it here? Hang on a second. Kevin Smith had some good words to say about the movie.
Okay. I did not read that. I heard about it. But.
I read bits and pieces of it. He basically praised the filmmaker for it and said, you know, look, it's a good movie. It shouldn't get all these evil, bad reviews. He really praised it. I'm trying to pull it up right now so I can see it here.
You know, a lot of other fans that saw it seemed to like it too. I mean, it's not that they thought that it was amazing, but it seems to be that the general consensus of the general fan was that it was a fun movie.
Yep. Well, you know, the thing is, a movie doesn't have to be a cinematic marvel to be a good movie. I mean, it doesn't have to be another, you know, Oscar-winning movie for me to say, yeah, it was enjoyable. This can be a bit of a mess and still be a fun movie to go see.
Yeah, but then the question becomes, is it basically two movies? Like, is the difference between the first half and the second half, if it is as drastic a shift in quality as some of the reviews are saying, then it does go a little bit beyond just, you know, it's not, you know, Academy Award winning, but who cares? Like, it goes beyond that and actually becomes.
But I mean, sometimes, film. Forgive the wording here, but critics can be too critical. You know,
no, absolutely.
I mean, they seem to be overcritical sometimes. The story here from Kevin Smith was on Entertainment Weekly. It says, while the initial reviews of DC's comic-inspired supervillain movie have been less than stellar, Smith gave it a glowing endorsement on social media Thursday and called Ayer a true filmmaker. So he really liked it. He said, the Squad movie doesn't look like any other comic book movie I've ever seen. He praised the cast as being top-notch, particularly Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. Also commented on Ayer's decision to use Batman and Joker as background characters rather than leads. So he really liked it. He did put some good words here.
I expect to like it. I mean, what the critics are saying about it is a concern, but I mean, does that mean it's going to spoil the movie for me? Probably not. I'm probably still going to find enough in it to be able to enjoy the film. Plus, when you look at a lot of the other stuff that's come out this year, I mean, I hate to say it, but we kind of have to take what we can get. Like, this is not really, critically speaking, and I don't mean from the critics, but okay, critics aside, quality speaking, this has not been the best year in films.
Although last week, we did talk about on the show that last week was only the sixth time in history that five movies broke 20 million in the same weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was, you know, we talked a bit before about this earlier in the year that it's been all or nothing at the box office this year. I mean, a movie will do, one movie does like 110 million for the weekend and everything else is under 10 million.
Yeah.
So this is the first time it was kind of spread around. Now, that was a bit of a hit for Star Trek because, you know, it did take the lion's share of the box office, but not, a huge number. But, you know, it's good to see money being spread around and movies still doing better than most because, you know, seeing movies do $10, $12 million just really feels like we're losing the ability to see movies in the theaters.
Yeah.
Because if movies keep doing that year for year, what's going to happen with theaters?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of in the back of my mind makes me wonder.
We should probably talk about this in a random chatter. Not only does it hurt the theaters, though, it also hurts home theater sales as well. So you've got the issue of people not wanting to invest the money to go see it in the theater. And I think invest is probably a correct term. I mean, not just your money, but your time. You are committing a cost to go see it in the theater as opposed to waiting for it to come home. And I think more people are going to wait for it to come home, but I think it's probably also going to drop DVD sales. So why buy the DVD or buy the movie to stream instead of just renting it if it sucks?
Like, yeah, I don't want to own a movie that I don't want to watch more than once.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we should have that discussion on Random Chatter at some point. We did that one back in, what was it, January about the screening room technology coming around and how trends and theaters have gone.
I want to talk on tonight's Random Chatter. I want to talk a little bit about the quality of what's come out this year, though.
Okay, good.
Speaking
of dollars in money for this movie, you've got a note in here that says that Suicide Squad needs to do at least $750 million to break even.
Yeah, this is from the Hollywood Reporter. $750 to $800.
Big number.
But when you think about, this is not production cost. This is a production cost plus the advertising, plus the distribution, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, this is getting more common. The good news is that they can rely more on the global box office to hit that number. And apparently it's already opening strongly overseas. So that's good.
Okay.
But, it's got to hit three quarters of a billion.
Right. But, you know, I'm looking at the worldwide box office grosses for 2016. And there's only six movies that surpass that 750 mark. Civil War, Zootopia, The Jungle Book, Batman v Superman, Finding Dory, and Deadpool. Everything beyond that is under 600 million.
Yeah, but regardless of what the critics say, this is still on target to hit. I mean, they're saying this could open bigger than Deadpool.
Really?
They're talking 140 to 150 opening weekend.
Huh. Even with the bad.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Well, and this is based on advanced ticket sales. So keep in mind, there are a lot of people who have already purchased their tickets for this.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Huh. Okay. Well, we'll wait and see. I'm interested to see what it does opening weekend. So
yeah,
we will know as of Saturday morning how it's trending at least.
Yeah, I'm curious as to whether the Rotten Tomatoes score is going to change at all.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, speaking of Rotten Tomatoes, you had hinted at this earlier. There was a story, was it this week or last week, that kind of broke about Rotten Tomatoes and some press about it wanting to be shut down.
I think it was just this past week, like a handful of days ago.
Yeah. So DC fans want Rotten Tomatoes shut down.
Yeah.
Is that just Rotten Tomatoes? Sorry. Sour grapes? Is that just somebody being pissy? What's the big urgency now, and why is it just DC fans that are kind of getting all over this?
Well, somebody started a petition on change.org, a very badly worded petition, by the way. And also, you might want to go back to grade school and learn about which words in a sentence get capitalized and which ones don't.
Is that bad?
Little tip there. Okay. Oh. That whole issue aside, it made an already difficult to take seriously petition even more difficult to take seriously. But a petition went up on change.org insisting that Rotten Tomatoes be shut down because its critics are allegedly too harsh on DC films. Now, I pause there. Its critics, Rotten Tomatoes critics, as opposed to other people's critics. Rotten Tomatoes critics, which is a sampling of all of the critics.
Okay.
They don't have their own critics. Rotten Tomatoes does not critique anything. They collect positive or negative from all of the critics and then give what percentage of all of the critics that they are not associated with gave it a positive review. That is what the percentage is. That's what it represents. So, apparently, because Rotten Tomatoes critics are so unfairly biased toward Marvel films and unfairly biased against DC films, ignoring the fact that, like, Batman Begins scored over 90%, Superman scored over 90%, etc. That aside, that doesn't support their argument, so... so it needs to be shut down. And I was thinking, while we're at it, I think this is a good idea. We should run with this. ISIS, the terrorist organization, they keep killing people.
Yeah.
Let's shut down CNN.
Okay. Would that stop the,
it makes sense because
it should. Yeah.
It's people that they're covering are killing people. So let's shut down CNN.
That's right.
Problem solved.
It'd be great. There wouldn't be any more coverage of that.
Right. And it would just go away. It would change what's happening.
Oh, Eric.
This
is silly Eric.
Like, I kind of wanted to just put this into what were they thinking thing.
Yeah.
But it was it's actually... nobody really thinks that it's blown up enough now that it's a legitimate news item and not some little fringe thing anymore. And I guess the guy went back now. I saw this earlier today and posted something like a little amendment to it saying that he wasn't expecting anyone to take it seriously. And, his point has been made because of all the coverage the petition's getting. And which, by the way, you're a punk. that doesn't make me respect you any. That makes me disrespect you. Like, that's okay. You wanted an excuse to sensationalize something. So, it's almost like clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you don't actually believe that this should be done, don't put a petition saying that you believe it should be done. And thousands of people signed the petition. It's not like one or two people. There are,
Yeah, I've got to find this petition because I want to read the bad grammar.
You can't read the whole thing anymore. It's not available.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm really pissed off about that, too. But just... Come on, people. Now, that does beg the question as to whether or not the critics are unfairly harsh on the DC films and unfairly supportive of the Marvel films. And there have been accusations of Disney paying critics to rate the Marvel films well and things like that. But listen, guys, we don't get, and gals, we don't get paid to review films. And I think we can probably speak for most of the other staff members that we have here on the network that we've spoken to, many of our audience that have written in about it. But you and I, Lou, we are actually on the air right now live, and we can attest to this one way or the other. But I think you would agree that the Marvel films generally have been better quality.
Mm-hmm. They've been awesome so far. I mean, they haven't all been, you know, knock it out of the park awesome, but right. They've all been very enjoyable films to watch. And, you know, that being said, what we've gotten recently, I mean, Batman v Superman isn't as bad as I think everybody makes it out to be.
But it's also not great. I read an analysis yesterday or today about what, like, why it wasn't good. And it was because there were these shots, but there weren't moments. Like, there were moments, but there weren't, like, storylines. Like, you get these slow motion action scenes, and like it was a, to paraphrase it and to put it in my own words, it was a movie that all of the big moments were basically made to support trailers. They weren't really character moments. They weren't, there was a lot of pausing and zooming in and slow motion and not, there were moments that were just these shots and not moments that engaged you and involved you.
Of everything in there, it wasn't cohesive either. It was very much jumping around, and there was too much stuff going on. They should have pared it down and focused on the story they wanted to tell. It seemed like they were trying to do too much to set up the rest of the DC cinematic universe.
And, you know, we've been pretty forgiving of it, too. The moments, these shots were nicely done. They look pretty. I've watched enough really bad superhero films that I guess I am a little bit forgiving to some extent. And because of my son, I watch all the animated ones. I watch the Lego ones. I see all the good and all the bad. So maybe I'm too forgiving of this, but there were things about it to like. But still, Batman versus Superman was not good. And I liked Man of Steel, but a lot of people didn't. And I understand why. It was a similar sort of an issue. But the Marvel films are films where the characters, you care about them. You engage with the characters. You empathize with the characters. I mean, they made Guardians of the Galaxy into a surprising success. They made Ant-Man. Right. I mean, who the heck cares about Ant-Man?
Yeah, you know, you heard these titles announced and you're going, really? That's what they're going with? It's
right.
Like, people don't know this title. I mean, I don't know this title, you know, and it's like, that's going to be a big mainstream movie for Marvel. Okay.
Right.
And they pull it off.
I thought Ant-Man was a lot of fun. I loved it. I thought it was one of the, in my personal opinion, I thought it was one of the better Marvel films. And they've had a couple that were not that great. Iron Man 2 is probably my least favorite of any of them. But the point is, there's a consistency of quality and of characterization and of emotional impact. And I guess that's part of it. Like, in Man of Steel, I felt a little bit of an emotional impact. In Batman versus Superman, I felt none. You know, it was a roller coaster ride. It was enjoyable, but you get off the roller coaster and you're like, oh wow, okay, that was a little rough, let me sit down for a minute, and you know, my head stopped spinning and it was okay. You know, it moved fast, there were a lot of curves, there was a little loop in the middle, that's great. I'm gonna take a break and go get a snow cone or some cotton candy.
Right,
you know, it was a roller coaster. There was no emotional impact. So are the critics unfairly, you know, treating the DC films that way? And here's the other thing, too. There have only been two so far. Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman in this new,
new
cinematic, you know, universe.
Yeah, right.
Right. Both done by Zack Snyder.
Didn't knock it out of the park with the first one the way Marvel did.
And Zack Snyder is a filmmaker who has a reputation for this. A lot of these same criticisms were there in The Watchmen.
Yeah.
And in some of the other films he did. So it's not all that surprising. So there's some logic there. I mean, for people to say that the critics are unfairly bashing DC and unfairly being favorable toward Marvel, I think you need to step back and look at the data, like the actual information. We have two films versus several years worth of films. These two films that were not liked were by one director, and that one director is someone who had these same complaints lobbied against him about other films.
Yep.
This all makes sense. This is all stuff that, while none of us hoped it would be the case, could have been predicted. And now Suicide Squad really is where things are. I mean, this is kind of the make or break film for DC. They need to at least get the fans on board with this one, because,
which is kind of funny, because I don't think this was ever meant to be that film.
No.
You know, this was a kind of a let's toss this in there type thing.
Exactly.
So bad.
And now so much is riding on it. But I think that's part of the problem, that if the studios then got involved and started interfering with this, then, and, you know, if you look at what they're saying, it's all about how collaborative it was. And, you know, Ayer is still the director, and we're proud to be producing his stuff. Well, of course they have to push it that way, because otherwise the Directors Guild gets all pissed off. And they get fined.
If they don't appear to be behind their filmmaker, no one's going to see the movie anyway.
Of course, the director is still the director. Otherwise, they get in trouble. They get fined for it. I mean, it's. And if the director is smart and wants to work in that town again, he's going to say the same sorts of things. So, especially given that he is a relatively, you know, he's one of the newer directors who's not really done a big blockbuster film yet. So it's, of course, all of the stuff coming out of Warner Brothers is going to be about how collaborative the process was and how everybody is on board and everybody is agreed upon this final cut.
You won't hear the ugly stuff until after it's been out for 6 months.
Right.
Then you'll hear, well, you know, they tied my hands and I couldn't do this, or the director was going down this road and we wanted to go a different direction, so we did this instead. You know,
right.
You'll hear that later on.
I want this to succeed so bad.
I do too.
Well,
we'll see. We'll talk about this next week.
That should have been a random chatter episode this week.
After we see it. Let's see what else we have in the news. Oh, Disney is revamping the Tower of Terror attraction at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And turning into Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
Yeah.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Tower of Terror has been around for a long time.
Yeah. I've never ridden the Tower of Terror.
I have not either.
I will say this. Right now, when you go to... Now, it's been several years since I've been to Disney. I've been to Universal a couple of times recently. When I think back to the more impressive rides at Universal, I think to the Spider-Man ride and the Simpsons ride.
Okay.
And I think that it's probably a good idea for them to bring in licensed content for attractions, and then use this sort of immersive movie technology that they do, you know, with the 3D glasses and the moving carts and stuff. Now, I don't know exactly what the Tower of Terror is going to entail mechanically. I know that story-wise, the collector, the guy played by Benicio del Toro in the films, has kidnapped the Guardians of the Galaxy, except Rocket Raccoon, and Rocket Raccoon is enlisting your help to go into this warehouse of the collector and break the Guardians out.
Okay.
So it's the type of thing that, you know, you could, I mean, that sounds like a pretty decent plot for a ride attraction.
Yeah. Well, you know, it makes perfect sense to do this kind of thing with these parks now, because, you know, back, you know, 20 years ago, rides just had to be rides. I mean,
right.
You go on a ride, it's a thrill, it's an excitement. It didn't have to have any tie-ins with everything else.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they're making entire sections of the park dedicated to a franchise. I mean, out in California and in Florida, they're redoing major sections of the park to be for Star Wars.
Right.
You know, in Universal's probably done that better than Disney has as far as turning properties that they, you know, license or own to be big attractions. You know, not just, it was a good roller coaster. It's not that kind of park. You know, this is a immersive park that needs to be all about the content. I mean, content's king.
Well, and also when you look at the amusement parks back in, let's say, the 50s or 60s or something, the animatronics they had, you know, the Haunted Mansion was surprisingly high tech, especially the way they handled the ghosts and stuff like that. Pirates of the Caribbean, I mean, It's a Small World was to think of it ever having been high tech is a bit of a stretch, but you know, and so all of this stuff was there and it was exciting and it was the type of thing you didn't really get to see anywhere else. And then more and more amusement parks started popping up. Technology got better and it seems like they did something with the technology for roller coasters and for adrenaline rides. But you go to Disney World and Disneyland and you still do Pirates of the Caribbean, It's a Small World. Epcot Center did quite a bit in the 80s to change that. And then the last time I went to Epcot Center, probably maybe 2000, it seemed lame. It seemed like it was antiquated and run down and they didn't like.
Yeah, last time I was there was in the 90s, and it felt that way even then, too. I mean, I remember when I was still going to school down in Florida, they talked about, you know, Tomorrowland feeling like Yesterday World.
Right.
Because it was like the 1950s version of what the future was going to be like.
And I think Disney rested on their laurels for a little bit too long and put too much stock in the nostalgic aspect of some of these rides.
Well, I mean, I remember, you know, here, I'll play the age card that I'm old again, but I remember when I went to Disney when I was a kid, you know, Orlando was Disney, Wet and Wild, and that was it. I mean, the first time I went to Disney, Epcot wasn't even built.
Yeah.
And there was nothing in Orlando. Now Orlando is just, you know, wall-to-wall attractions. I mean, and, you know, Universal coming in and doing some amazing things that Disney hadn't thought of or thought of but didn't implement.
Right.
Is now all of a sudden like, wow, we got to get our button gear because we're getting, you know, our tickets taken from us.
Right. I mean, again, as of recent years, I would rather go to Universal than Disney. So I think that this is smart for Disney. I think the Star Wars thing is smart. If they can do for Star Wars what, let me rephrase that. If Star Wars can do for Disney parks what Harry Potter has done for Universal parks, then Disney's making the right move.
And yeah.
Then some. This is going to be a big draw for them. And we're not saying that this just because we're Star Wars fans. I mean, this makes a lot of business sense. Universal has a Marvel section of, I think it's of Islands of Adventure in Orlando. So they kind of already have licensing for that. And I don't know how that licensing may or may not affect Disney doing anything. But as much as Disney is able to take advantage of the Marvel stuff, I think they should. I mean, listen, nostalgia will get you so far. But now some of this nostalgia that's still been lingering around the Disney parks is so many generations ago. You need to modernize it and you need to bring in more people. You need to bring in new people. The stuff my son is watching these days are not a lot of the things that they've had lingering around Disney for a while. And they need to breathe some new life into it. They need to get the Marvel stuff and the Disney stuff. And yeah, you can still do the Marvel and Star Wars stuff. You can still do some of the traditional stuff. You can do the whole Mickey Mouse family. You can do the princesses. Those are still a big thing. But you've also got, you know, Doc McStuffins. They're actually putting in a Rebels attraction.
Okay.
So we'll cover more of that on Echo Base. That was just announced recently.
Yeah.
But they need to breathe some new life into this stuff because with the technology now, there's so much you can do to make things more immersive.
Right. And I understand it takes a lot to revamp a park. I mean, when you're going to put in a new attraction in or put a new section of the park in, it's literally shutting that section down and rebuilding from the ground up. You know, Harry Potter World was a pretty amazing and extensive rebuild for Universal.
Right.
And if you've seen the aerial shots of what Disneyland is undergoing right now in California, it's like, wow, I can't wait till that's done because it's a huge section of the park.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a funny feeling I'm going to want to go into the Star Wars part and just not leave when they close the doors.
Maybe they can sell condos in there.
No, that's my spot over there. I'm sleeping on that part of the Falcon right over there. Yeah, no, that's mine. I claimed it. I'm just going to the bathroom. I'm coming right back.
They're going to start selling bunks on the Falcon for the night.
They should.
What they need to do is need to do a, what was it, in Vegas, did they do one of the Hilton properties? Did they do a Star Trek themed hotel?
Yeah, see, they need to do that. They need to do something where you can get like a interior Millennium Falcon themed hotel room and stuff like that. Yeah.
There's a hotel in Denver that we stayed at one time that has each floor is a different theme. And there is a sci-fi themed floor. We did not stay in that floor, sadly, because it was a smoking floor. But it's a pretty cool hotel. I can't remember the name.
You think in the future people would know that that's bad for you?
You would think so. Well, they still have death sticks. So, that was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Well, that's true.
Oh, boy. Okay, so where are we here? The Division is getting a movie made out of it.
Oh, quick tangent.
Oh.
Quick tangent. So I haven't been playing The Division. And part of it is because after trying out Battlefront, rather.
Right.
The demo and watching everybody else teleport around me and me getting shot by people who seemingly aren't even there because my network lag was so bad, I just gave up. My router finally, I don't even know if it completely kicked the can or if it's like I could salvage it somehow, but I gave up on it and went and got a new router. I got one of the Apple time capsules.
Okay.
And, which is an Airport Extreme that has a hard drive in it for backups and stuff. But it has some kind of, and I should know more about this because I sell these things, but like a way to directionally focus the Wi-Fi signal.
Okay.
So you get a stronger signal. Anyway, so I went from, on Wi-Fi in the house, probably like, 6 or 7 megabits down.
Yep.
To over 120 megabits down.
Nice.
On Wi-Fi. Yeah, from 6 to 120.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I may try The Division again. As much smack talk as I've been doing about how things keep getting nerfed and exploited and re-exploited and all this kind of stuff, I don't know. I'm kind of
because I haven't played in a while either, but I need to jump back in because I definitely want to level up.
What are you playing right now?
I haven't played anything right now. Although I can imagine next week I'm going to be playing a new game.
Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday might be when I launch my Twitch channel.
Oh, cool.
I say that only half jokingly. I may actually. Well, that's a whole nother discussion, but we may be doing video stuff soon on the network. I don't know yet. But yeah, the No Man's Sky coming out. I think that's where I'm going to be for a while. Anyway, so The Division. What about The Division?
Division is getting a movie, which I didn't even. I heard about this maybe a week ago that it was teased about this. I had no idea it was in the works. And they've announced that Jessica Chastain and Jake Gyllenhaal will be two of the. Stars. I think Jake will be a great actor in this movie, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
If you look at him in Source Code, I thought it was great, his portrayal of it. He has that, I don't know, gritty look to him, I guess, that he can pull off that I think would be really good and kind of perfect for The Division.
Well, and he's a really good actor, too. He was also good in Jarhead. I didn't care that much
for
the film itself, but like he was really good in it. He's definitely, and here's the thing too, like I kind of was dismissive about this thing when I did hear about it, to the point where I completely forgot about it, like you said, until I saw this just today, and I'm like, holy crap. Well, if they've got Jake Gyllenhaal and Jessica Chastain, they're serious. I mean, this is
as long as the story is good, and you know, the game itself, whether you play it or not, the concept of the game I thought is pretty cool.
Yeah, I could see this lending itself toward a film story pretty easily, as opposed to something like, oh, Tetris.
Yeah. I mean, I could see this as a movie. I could see it as a short miniseries on television as well.
But yeah,
this could be good. They do it as a movie. I hope it's just a one shot and not a series of movies, because I don't think it could be a series of movies. But
yeah,
give me one good story and leave it at that.
Now, I've not seen Jessica Chastain in anything, I don't think. I know she was in The Martian. She has been in a few other things. I just don't recall.
Similar right now. Zero Dark Thirty.
I still haven't seen that.
I haven't seen either.
She was
in The Help. She was in Mama.
Nope.
So I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah, okay. I've heard the name, and I know she's well-respected, so I'm assuming she's going to do well. I haven't. Myself though, but I mean, this is I guess this is good news. You know, anytime we see a video game movie, we kind of have to
kind of cringe, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
This being kind of an open-ended world, I think it could be really good.
And again, the setting lends itself to a film well, and you know, Jake Gyllenhaal. It's like, okay, can't be that bad. I mean, what's the worst you could have if you combine Jake Gyllenhaal and a video game movie, Prince of Persia? What's the worst that could happen?
You had to go there, huh?
I had to. If I didn't, someone would have written in, and yeah, I had to.
Well, I guess on that note, we should probably let you do your What Were They Thinking weekly. Anything out there that's worth noting this week?
Yeah, I mean, like, not in comparison to trying to get Rotten Tomatoes shut down because you don't like what it says other people are doing. Splash from the 80s, the movie about the mermaid, Daryl Hannah, Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting remade.
Oh, God.
Channing Tatum will be the mermaid.
What?
Yep. Merman, excuse me.
A merman.
Merman.
Oh, Lord.
Why
do we need to remake The Mermaid? Or Splash, I should say. Why?
What? You know, though, better that than, like, Transformers or Butcher something that I actually care about. I don't know. I guess that's a selfish way to look at it. I don't know. Yeah.
It is very selfish. Yeah. I mean, I just don't think we need a remake of Splash. I mean,
no.
When was the last time you thought, oh, I wish they had a new version of Splash?
Right.
I mean,
and it's funny because all these bloggers are like, oh, this is the perfect movie to remake. I'm like, no. Just
how is it the perfect movie to remake? I don't get that.
Stop. Nobody cares about the first one. Nobody's going to care about the second one.
I mean, the first one was an okay movie back in the 80s, early 80s. I mean, I wouldn't write home about it, but, you know, it was fun. Daryl Hannah.
In the 80s,
Tom
I wouldn't
Hanks.
Have written home about it. it was.
I mean, I loved when she bites into the lobster through the shell at the restaurant. It was kind of funny.
Okay, yeah. It had a couple of
funny moments.
Cute moments. Yeah, well, Batman versus Superman had a couple of exciting moments. So.
Yeah.
Couple of other things real quick, I guess, just to throw them out there. I made a pun and I didn't even mean to. Oh, and now I pointed it out, which means I just destroyed the pun anyway. So the TSA has an announcement that they made via their Instagram page. I'm going to read the quote here.
Wait. Before you read the quote.
Yeah.
They're making announcements via Instagram?
Yeah, they have an Instagram page.
Is this the official way the government now releases information? Instagram?
Hey, listen. It's one of the only things that people read, Instagram and Facebook. So if you want to make an announcement, it's not going to do a lot of good if people aren't going to hear it or read it.
Okay, fine.
Just saying. No, I didn't pay much attention to this, but I guess on the Instagram page, they like put pictures of things that they've screened and they're like, guys, don't do this stupid thing that we caught other people doing.
What'd they catch?
Here's a quote. Oh, this is something that apparently has been becoming an ongoing problem on an increasing basis. Batarangs are becoming more and more common, and it's important that you know they're prohibited in carry-on bags. They can be placed in your checked baggage along with your grapple gun, bat saw, collapsible bat sword, and other utility belt items.
Oh, God. Now, was this released right around
San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah.
It seems to be about the case. But, you know, it's been happening well prior to that, too. Like, over the past several months, I guess. So, and these are like, you know, these are third-party replicas, but they're sharp blades. I mean, these are...
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, they're not something I'd want the guy next to me in a plane carrying on.
Right. The fact that they have to make this public service announcement, I think, is just... Ugh. And I didn't put this in the show notes, but Kanye opened his mouth again.
Did he have a batarang with him?
Ha ha! No. Probably would have made for a better story. No, he wants a sit-down meeting with Tim Cook from Apple.
Oh, God, where's this going?
Because of the way that... What was Tidal? I almost forgot what it was. The service where he released his exclusive album and was never going to be on iTunes ever until the following week. He wants to be in a room with Tim Cook, and he named a handful of other people to sit down and work this out because Apple apparently is, Apple is causing some big rivalry that Apple's probably not even aware of, and they need to get this sorted out. I no longer care. If you want to know more, go head to Twitter.
Yeah,
and I mean.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Like I said, it's hard to top the whole Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, and that wasn't even, what were they thinking?
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, I got to say, Splash being remade is pretty much a head-scratcher.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Well, since Chris isn't here, I'll have to pick up his slack and take care of the lightning round for him.
All right.
So Powers, the show on PlayStation Network, will not return for a third season.
Oh,
kind of a bummer. I thought season one was excellent. I had not seen season two.
But... Have you finished season one?
Almost.
Okay. I loved season one. It's low budget. I mean, It's a PlayStation Network. They're not going to have HBO's budget. Okay. And it shows, but much like Doctor Who, you get by on the character development and the plots and stuff like that. I thought it was a great series. I just finished season two. It ends on a cliffhanger. And this really, really pisses me off.
It ends in a cliffhanger?
It could not be more of a cliffhanger if they had a person literally hanging off of a literal cliff. Like, it is like the cliffhanger of cliffhangers. Still worth watching. I mean, still watching. Yeah. And, you know, maybe Hulu or Netflix will pick it up or something. I don't know.
Be nice if you got an answer to your cliffhanger, but anyway.
Well, you know, I don't know. I know the first season didn't follow the comic books that closely. Second season went back and hit more of the beats from the comics. But if you want, pick up the comics. It is an Eisner Award-winning comic book series that has gotten all kinds of critical acclaim. I've read some of the comics. They are phenomenal. So pick up the comics. Brian Michael Bendis does them, and he's one of the best guys in comic books right now.
Cool. High praise.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we have here in the lightning round. The Girlfriend Experience, a Showtime show, is getting a second season.
Okay.
That's based off of the Girlfriend Experience movie that was out a few years back. Steven Soderbergh, I think, did the movie.
Yeah, I think so. It's gotten good reviews.
Yeah, I saw the first episode. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Homeland, also from Showtime, is now available to exclusively to Hulu subscribers. So
yeah,
I still don't see the need for Hulu. I'm not, you know, if they'd give you the whole season of some stuff, but there's so much they pick and choose. Well, of what they give you everything of, that I'm like...
Well, Homeland, they're actually going back and giving you the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm talking about new shows, current stuff, current seasons.
Well,
they
only, read
they
read
still
the
don't
next,
give you the whole season of stuff.
Read the next bullet point, because I'm curious as to if this will affect that.
Okay. Time Warner is buying a 10% stake in Hulu.
Yeah.
As You're in right. Time that could Time do Warner it. Cable. I mean, I picked up the cheaper subscription to Hulu earlier this year, because it was something I was trying to watch. Maybe it was Blind Spot or something that I couldn't. I think I lost some shows off my DVR, and they didn't go back on demand on Comcast back at the beginning of the season. I'm like, well, what good is this if I can't watch your show? And I think I even talked about this on the show before. You know, if you want me to watch your show, make it easy for me to watch it.
Right.
I'm not trying to steal it, but at least let me see it.
Right.
You know, if it's a show like this that's serialized and I can't see the first episode, well, I'm not going to start your series then.
I didn't put this in the show notes, but one of the CEOs of one of the major networks made a comment that was being reported earlier today about how important it is for viewership to be able to go back and catch up on old episodes and to be able to stream them or, you know, somehow otherwise make them available so that people can jump back in and catch up with the current stuff. Like he was promoting the idea of making all of that old stuff accessible on an ongoing basis. So
that's a good thing. I mean you know, we can see previous seasons of shows on Netflix or other stuff like that where you can see them. That's great. It's the current season that gets me. If I miss an episode or need to go back, I'm a couple weeks behind on something, and I can't see it because it's dropped off my DVR or it's dropped off of on demand. I'm stuck. You know, it's like I can't go back and watch that. So
I'm trying to do that right now with The Walking Dead. I finally got to the point where I'm catching up with that because I'm way behind on it.
Okay.
And I think like episode 10 of this season, I don't have. And when I started watching the next episode without realizing that I was missing this episode, like the previously on Walking Dead section had all of this stuff. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I don't care so much. I don't care so much that I got spoiled as much as I care about the fact that it looks like it was an important thing. And I should probably watch it to understand what else is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've either got to buy the episode or hunt it down somewhere. It's not available anywhere on demand from what I can tell.
Right. It just kills me that I have a hard time going back and buying an episode on iTunes that I missed because I'm like, I'm already paying, you know, $100 and whatever a month for cable and internet from Comcast. I'm paying for Netflix. I'm paying for Hulu. I'm like, when's it going to stop? You know, it's like I can't spend on every single one of these services.
Well, and I'm one of those addictive type personalities where like I collect things. And so if I buy one episode from iTunes, I want to buy the whole season.
Right. I'm the same way.
Even if I just need that one episode, I don't want like 2 years from now for me to have episode 7 of season 4 of Scrubs. No, I want the whole season.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've got on my DVR or on my Netflix, on my Apple TV, I've got like one episode of season 12, Law and Order. I'm like, yeah, I had to buy because I had, and now it's like it's there. It's always a reminder that you had to buy this one episode.
Right. Yeah.
That just kills me even more. But let's see here. The first 13 years of Nintendo Power Magazine are available on archive.org.
Yeah.
Okay, moving right along.
Oh, come on. It's Nintendo Power Magazine.
I know,
listen,
I know. But still.
Before the internet, before FAQs, before game guides, before wikis, if you wanted to know where the warp zones in Super Mario Brothers were, or how to get the boomerang in Legend of Zelda, or how to defeat Mike Tyson in Punch-Out, I mean, this was the place.
God, how old are you, Eric?
Almost as old as you.
Oh, damn it.
But you know what, Lou? I will always be almost as old.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
See, that's the great thing about me.
Oh,
you walked right into that one, too.
I did. I didn't even see it coming.
No, but this is really cool. You can get the whole magazine. And the cool thing, too, is if you look at a lot of the ads, from like the 80s and the haircuts and the clothing and
right
yeah, I don't know that too many people will sit down and read all the way through, but it's cool to just kind of flip through casually. And if you're really into gaming, it might actually be kind of interesting to read some of these old articles to kind of see
where we come from,
people's perspectives back then on gaming and what the future of it may have brought versus now. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, well, see, and lastly, MTV Classic is now on the air.
Yes.
It will include shows like Beavis and Butthead, Daria, The Max, and music videos.
Music videos!
There's actually been music videos on MTV. Oh, my God.
Yes. And not just music videos, but entire blocks of 80s music videos.
See, I mean, I'm old enough to remember that when MTV was music television, that's all we had was videos.
Yep.
It was great.
That's it.
Sadly, it's lost its way.
Yeah. But the Beavis and Butthead... fire. Sorry. The reruns of that. The Max. I didn't even think about The Max. And I was flipping through our Comcast guide, and I'm like, it came out on August 1st. I'm like... It's August 2nd. I forgot all about this. I got to see what's on and flip through it and check it out. They were playing 80s movies during the middle of the weekday, like Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, sadly. A couple of other decent 80s movies and such. But and it's not all 80s stuff. They've got some modern music videos and stuff in there, too. And I saw The Max, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I remember that time period where MTV's animation... And like the Adult Swim type stuff that they had, Liquid Television or whatever it was.
Liquid. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they had the Spawn. Well, no, I guess the Spawn cartoon was on HBO. But all of the other stuff from that time period was on MTV. They had the Aeon Flux cartoon.
Aeon Flux, yep, I remember that, yep.
And which I have on DVD somewhere.
Oh, do you? Cool.
Yeah, I'll let you borrow them if you want.
Nice.
I loved some of those shorts for Aeon Flux.
Yeah.
And The Max. The Max was like this weird adaptation of a comic book series Sam Keith? An artist / writer who did a lot of Wolverine stuff back in the day for Marvel. And then when Image Comics formed, he went over to Image Comics and he created this this other character who... I'm not sure I ever figured out whether he was imaginary, whether he was real and thought he was a superhero but really wasn't, or whether he actually was a superhero. I'm not sure. Anyway, the cartoon series is an almost panel-by-panel adaptation of the comic book, and it is like really kind of freaky abstract, but it's also really awesome.
Cool. So,
anyway, that's my... spiel.
That was not such a quick lightning round, but
yeah.
Oh, well. Chris does that much better than I do, but I blame Chris because he's not here. So
yeah, that's true.
Let's see. Last week in the box office, Jason Bourne was the big winner last weekend. Its first week out, it made $59.2 million. Star Trek Beyond in its second weekend made only $24 million, bringing its total to 106.
That is so if you take 25 million, so
I think so it did like about 60 its first weekend.
That's like a 66% drop off.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But, you know, we're seeing that more and more with these movies. Second weekend out.
Yeah.
They're done. Bad Moms, its first weekend, made $23 million. Secret Life of Pets is still in there at number four with another almost $19 million for $296. And rounding out the top five, Ice Age Collision Course. It's sad when that movie is still in the top five.
But it's
only making
second,
$42 million.
It's second week.
It feels like it's been out forever, but...
Remember we were talking on the movie draft episode about what the previous ones had pulled in at the box office domestically?
Oh, yeah, it was huge.
And we're talking like 160, 170. This one, I don't think it's going to top 60 million.
Probably not.
If it does, it's just going to trickle over it. I mean, this is, wow, what a drop.
I guess the good news is we won't be getting another Ice Age movie.
I hope not.
Not with these numbers.
Ugh. Well,
oh boy,
new releases. We already talked about Suicide Squad, which is now 27% and dropping. Hurry and see it now while it's still 27. Don't wait until it's 18.
It's a free fall.
Yeah. Nine Lives with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, that's the cat movie, right?
Yeah. Can't believe I got that on the movie draft.
I don't think it's going to do well.
No. I don't think I paid much for it, though. That makes me curious. What did I pay for it?
You paid, where is it here? You paid three.
Three, okay.
Well, you got that for a good price. Yeah. Okay.
I feel better. DVD. This past week we had Batman the Killing Joke, which was pretty controversial. Did you guys talk about this at all last week?
I don't think we did, no.
Oh, wow. This is, there was quite a bit of controversy about this one, to the point where one of the writers at one of the panels, one of the reporters in the audience said something about how they treated Barbara Gordon by basically making her a sex object for Bruce Wayne. And one of the writers said, "You want to say that to my face, pussy?" Right in the middle of the convention hall. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is not going to go over well with the press.
No.
But like, they've been getting lambasted over this movie and the way Barbara Gordon is. I mean, it was already a bit controversial anyway. But the arguments are that they really, really diminished her character a lot in this film, basically making her pine for Bruce Wayne all the time. A little bit of a spoiler here. And this is based on a comic book from ages ago. So, but they had the comic book itself, the graphic novel, is kind of short. So they had to add some to make it into a film. And so they thought they would give more backstory on Batgirl, on Barbara Gordon's character.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, eventually they do have her and Bruce, well, her and Batman hooking up, as in having sex. And then afterwards, basically, he doesn't return her phone calls. So she's sitting here pining for Bruce Wayne the whole time. And the way they portrayed the character made it like that's the depth of her character, is that she's got this crazy infatuation with Batman. And that's why she dresses up as Batgirl. And that's why she tries to hook up with them. And that's why she feels jilted afterward. It's like she's nothing but, if not a sex object, then a mechanism to get Batman really frustrated with Joker. Which is what the argument was originally, but now in trying to create more of a backstory for her, because they did it so lamely, they actually made it worse.
Oh, man. And yeah.
I don't get oversensitive to this kind of stuff, but I get it. Like, this, I think they actually screwed the pooch on this one. I think that they messed up. So I haven't seen it, but I did read a lot about it. I read all the coverage from the panel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, it came out. I mean, if you're a longtime Batman fan, a longtime comic book fan, it'll probably be worth watching just to get an animated version of what is considered one of the most, I guess, notorious comic books of all time, if not one of the most popular. But
Right.
Anyway, Keanu, with Key and Peele and the cutest kitty cat in the world. I watched that last week.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think?
I thought it was okay.
Okay.
My wife, who promised that she would sit all the way through it, ducked out about a third of the way through, maybe halfway through, and she said, I can't take this anymore. I'm done.
Really?
Shut it off. I can't take this anymore. I'm going to bed.
Is she not a cat lover?
Actually, I think if the cat were in more of the film, she probably would have been okay with it. She doesn't like humor. She has no sense of humor.
So your sarcasm must go over really well.
Oh my gosh, dude, you have no idea. Oh my gosh, that's a whole other discussion for a whole other podcast series.
It's like a whole show on Random Chatter.
Yes.
Eric's sarcasm and home life.
Oh my gosh. If ever there were a single human being on this planet who had zero appreciation or understanding of any of my humor, it is my wife.
Awesome.
Just the mere attempt at humor, just instantly, she just starts either groaning or growling, one of the two, depending on her mood. Anyhow, next week on DVD, the Angry Birds movie. 43% on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, actually, I did watch this. It was not nearly as bad as I expected. I mean, I'm not saying it was good. But for kids, like, I understand why my son likes it. And it really was not that bad. I was surprised. Also, The Huntsman, Winter's War, 17%. And Cell by Stephen King, starring John Cusack, Samuel L. Jackson, reuniting once again for another Stephen King film.
That wasn't out on DVD yet?
It was out on digital, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Want to guess what it has on Rotten Tomatoes?
Sure.
Zero. Oh. Now, before you go saying, well, it probably doesn't have any reviews. No, it's 0 out of 28 reviews.
Seriously? Wow.
But, you know, 28 reviews, that's not a whole lot. So let's go, in this case, with the audience score. Okay? The audience score has over 2,500 reviews.
Okay.
17%.
Wow. So yeah. I guess this movie was not very well liked.
Nope. Not at all.
Did you see it, or? I know you read the book.
I fast-forwarded to the end to see how the movie differed from the book. The main difference between the movie and the book was that the movie had an ending.
Oh, so the movie found that last page of the book.
Yes. I have a new appreciation for the book. Because the ending was bad enough that maybe that's why it wasn't in the book. Maybe the publisher tore those last few pages out before sending it off to the printing press to avoid embarrassment. Still no excuse to not end your book, but it was, I am so glad that I did not waste time watching this movie. I would have been so livid at the 2 hours of my life that I would never have gotten back. And I'm pretty forgiving when it comes to endings that I don't like, endings that are done differently than I would have done them, endings that are dark and don't have happy endings. I'm not, you know, I don't demand a happy ending for my stories. This was just bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Okay.
In other new releases, I think you guys probably talked last week about Dark Matter.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. By Blake Crouch. If you haven't picked that up, that is not to be confused with the television series. This is
right.
Completely unrelated. Blake Crouch is the author of Wayward Pines, and we will be having him on Random Chatter next week for an interview. So,
I am about 20 minutes away from finishing the book.
Okay. And what do you think so far?
I picked up the audiobook. I was reading the physical book, and the audiobook came out. I'm like, oh, I'll get that because I can finish it a lot faster.
Yep.
I am really enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a part where three quarters of the way through the book, I was like, okay, I've heard the story before. It's kind of the same as I've heard, but it took a whole different twist.
Yes.
In the last, say, third of the book that I was expecting. I was like, oh,
yeah,
this is different.
It's one of those situations where when it does get to a point where you start to feel like, oh, okay, I've seen this before.
Yep.
It very quickly changes into something you haven't.
Exactly. And, yeah. I was like, okay, I've got, I think it was like 4 hours left in the audiobook or 3 hours left. And I'm like, okay, so we're going to have the last 3 hours of this. I'm like, this is going to be very boring. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've seen this before. I'm like, I was almost ready not to even finish the book.
Oh, wow.
And then it changed. I was like, oh, okay.
I never got to that point with it.
Yeah. I mean, if I was reading the book and I got that apart, I might have stopped. But because it's an audiobook and there's less effort on my part to do it,
yeah, on the commute, my hand's like, too heavy to go going. Over and hit the stop button. Yeah. Too much energy.
Too much energy. But no, I'm really enjoying it. And I've got the last 40 minutes left of the audiobook. And I'm dying to hear it. And I'll probably hear it on the way into work tomorrow. So
cool. Well, if anybody out there is curious, I recommend you pick it up. And if you've read it and have any questions for the author or any questions about Wayward Pines, send them in. If you send in questions for us to ask Blake Crouch, we will ask him, unless it's something inappropriate. But we will do that for you, the listeners, because we love you.
Awesome.
Other new releases, Batman, a Telltale game. Just came out for PC and consoles. The mobile version has been delayed until September 13th. The PC version has some bugs. I guess they just released a patch for it today. I don't know whether it was successful in patching the bugs or not. I have not heard any complaints about the console versions. And as far as the game itself, it's been getting pretty high praise. So there you go. And then finally, as we pointed out earlier, No Man's Sky coming this Tuesday to consoles. And I believe Friday to PC. Unfortunately, no Mac version, but this looks really, really good. It's kind of a gamble, but if it delivers on what it promised, could be a lot of fun.
It could be a lot of fun. I'm definitely going to pick it up on Tuesday. I'm probably going to pre-order it so I can make sure I get one.
Yeah. Yep. Well, so. And that's it for the new releases.
Very good. And, of course, you know, if you want to send us questions for Blake Crouch, you can do so by sending some feedback to our site here. OuterRim@randomchatter.com is the email address to send us those things. Those for Blake Crouch or anything else you want to ask us, we can certainly entertain those questions. You can find us on Facebook as well, Facebook.com/RandomChatterNetwork. On Twitter, you can find us at Outer Rim Podcast. The network is at Random Chatter. You can find myself. I'm at Lou Secchi. That's LOUSECKI. Chris, who is absent, you can find him at The Curse of Chris. And Eric, where can they find you on Twitter?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, you can find Chris at It's All My Fault. I'm at Eric Blythe.
Blame Chris.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll have to use that as a hashtag this week. at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. And, of course, you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. The entire network selection of shows is over there. We would also love it if you'd leave us reviews in iTunes, Stitcher, whatever website from which you may be getting the podcasts. And tell your friends about us, too. You know, spread the love, pass the word along. It's always nice to have the community grow because it gives everybody within the community something to engage in. And that's a cool thing, so...
Yeah, and you know, speaking of community and engagement, you can listen to us live. We do shows on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesdays, and Thursday we do it 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can follow us over there at randomchatter.com/live. You can also listen to us on Ustream to search for Random Chatter.
And finally, we would like to thank everyone who's helped support us through patreon.com. It helps keep us going. It helps keep the lights on, so to speak. And I know we say this every week, but Patreon is a way that we can give something back to the listeners as well. And one of the big ways we do that is a Slack channel that we have that continues to be very successful. And I tell you what, it's about all that gets me through the week sometimes at work.
It is fun. There's some good discussions on there. It's pretty lively.
Yes. And it's active, too. It's like even when it's slow for a little bit, there's generally some kind of conversation going on. It's incredible. So I want to thank everybody who's supported us through Patreon. If you want to find out more about supporting us or any of the perks that you can get through Patreon or joining the Slack community that we have, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter.
Well, I think that wraps it up for this week. We appreciate everybody listening, and we will come at you again next week. Until then, good night.
Adios.
The Force will be with you always.